What is going on, YouTube? Good evening, YouTube. Welcome to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, I'm going to put a job description out there to the marketplace. I'm auditioning for a Fulham penalty taker. Would you like the job?
I mean, I think I'd be better.
You've got the flair.
I've got the skills.
You've got the skills.
They don't.
If you were a Fulham player, how would you take a penalty?
Just hit it.
Just smash it down the middle.
Hit as hard as you can. Look at the ball. Look at the goal.
What is going on?
What is this? Pininker in it. Looking away.
Did you see that? Guys,
if
you've seen the GIF on Twitter, I should have retweeted it before we come on. But if you've seen the GIF on Twitter of the guy taking the penalty today and he kind of looks away at the last minute as if to say, I'm going to score like a no-look kind of Bobby Firmino-style penalty. What are you doing, mate? Just put the ball in the net.
Honestly, Philip, that's the third they've missed, isn't it, this season? Three penalties missed.
Oh.
They're going to get relegated if they don't score some penalties.
They are absolutely done. They're absolutely done. There is a case, guys, and we'll cover this a bit later on. There is a case for targeting Fulham over the next 3 weeks with your captaincy. But more on that later on. We've got plenty to discuss in game week 9. Of course, it wouldn't be an FPL Family Sunday night stream without plenty to discuss. I have to say, I feel this weekend was a bit of a weekend of two halves for me.
Sam will
tell you, and you guys will, and Tom from Who Got The Assist was trolling me on Twitter about this before we come on. I was absolutely on one yesterday on Twitter. I was a real grumpy son of a yesterday because of the VAR calls yesterday done my head in.
Let's be clear, this wasn't just Lee was a pain in the arse on Twitter yesterday. Lee was just a pain in the arse yesterday.
I was a nightmare to be around yesterday. I was a nightmare. And there's only really been two... I've only really got really angry twice this season. And both times have been because of David Coote. Now, guys, you can come at me in the live chat, come at me in the comments about Bruno, but this video is... the thumbnail is all about Lee being bitter about Bruno, and I am, and I'll talk about him a bit later on. But today, I enjoyed the football much more. We didn't have any nonsense VAR. We had some good games of football. We had Arsenal's goal leading a charmed life. How on earth did Arsenal get a point out of that Leeds game? I enjoyed it much more today.
I mean, I enjoyed yesterday.
I know you enjoyed yesterday.
Top the league, see? We are top the league.
Well, I think this is, for a first time in a very long time, both our sides are now top of the league, right? I mean, well, you're top
you're
on
second.
Goal difference. Yes, okay.
You're
right,
second. Yes,
okay. Well, listen.
The cream has risen.
Jesus.
You are second.
The difference is we haven't got a team right now. We're playing all the kids and the youngsters in the under-23s. You've got a full team out, except, interestingly, and of course, guys, we'll say hello in a bit. We'll cover the games. We'll do all the FPL chat. We'll talk about our teams and overall ranks and all that sort of stuff. But I do want to talk about Toby Alderweireld quickly.
Do you want to bring up Toby with me?
I do want to bring up Toby with you because he got injured, didn't he, in that game against Man City? How do you think that's going to... Well, should we cover it in the game? No, give me a quick answer now.
No, be fine.
Toby out, good or bad in the long term?
Well,
it's a bad thing.
I mean, obviously it's bad, but we'll be fine.
You'll be fine? Got cover there? The new boy coming in, Roden?
Bit of Welsh magic.
Okay.
Couple of Welsh magicians now, aren't we?
Right, okay. Yeah. Well, interestingly, Bale didn't see a minute of football
in a
game against Man City, and he played much, much better.
Was ready to come on, stripped, ready. I thought, this is... the guys in the Slack will tell you, I was making them laugh yesterday, because I was like, yes, here comes my boy, it comes Gareth. And then in that split second, Toby got injured and my world fell apart because like my bestest Tobes injured. I was like crying emojis, lots of them. Then Bale didn't come on as a result. Some crying emojis as a result of them. But top of the league.
Top of the league. And I'll tell you what, both Lucas Moura and Bergwijn have played very well in those positions.
Man City who?
Instead of Bale. Well, we'll talk about Man City a bit later on because it's really not going well for them this season.
Take away
really
that contract,
not.
City.
But before we get to... that's it, get rid of Pep. Gone.
Did you see his face?
Well, do you know what? Before the game, the pre-match interviews with both Pep and Jose, only one of those managers was calm about the game, I can tell you. Pep was... There was something not right about the way he did that pre-match interview. Whereas Mourinho is out there doing gags about Sterling. It's unreal, absolutely unreal. And guys, it won't have escaped your notice, and we will, of course, be talking about this later. I'm absolutely convinced it's going to be the talking point of the next week or so. Man City, right? Fixtures from heaven, frankly. The next four, of the next four, three are at home, and they look fantastic. And even the away game, I think, doesn't look too bad. Is it the Manchester Derby? Maybe I've got that wrong. I don't know. But anyway, the next four and beyond look pretty good for City. but they don't really have the form. Whereas a lot of us are looking to fund those City moves with Spurs players getting rid of Kane and Son. Well, of course, that would have bitten you in the backside this game week. So listen, but people are doing that because of the fixture swing, right? This fixture swing is really making the move. The FPL managers, a lot of managers are making the move from Spurs to Manchester City.
Yeah.
And just ignoring form altogether. And I don't think you can ignore the form. I really don't. But listen, there's our Twitter on the left-hand side, at FPL Family. Let's get into the live
there's
chat.
There's a lot of emojis going on
and
in the
say
chat.
Hello to a few people. There's a lot of emojis. A lot of emojis. Let's see. Juza is in. How are we doing? Bruno flop. Don't take him. The luck has to stop now. Well, Juza, we'll be talking about him a bit later on. Was he lucky? Was he not? I happen to think that he was. I happen to think that Man United were very lucky, but... as you guys told me a number of times on Twitter, he could have had some assists. He could have had more points. So we'll talk about him a bit later on. George Malayil is saying Salah tested negative. Yes, if Woo-hoo! You missed this, there was some news coming out of the Egyptian, I think it's maybe an Egyptian media company. I don't know if they're a TV company or what. But on their Twitter account, they announced that Salah has had a negative test. I must admit, I was kind of surprised to hear that he travelled back to the UK a couple of days ago before I heard the news of the negative test because, you know, you've got coronavirus, you're going to get on a plane. I'm pretty sure Salah's not flying the plane. So we've got to have a pilot, you've got to have people to help you get off the plane and get through the airport and all that. I mean, if you've got corona, you're locked in a room and isolating, right?
All right, so, okay, let's be clear on this. Salah is not flying EasyJet through Heathrow.
No, I understand, but nevertheless... if you have coronavirus, you should be completely isolating. And if he's travelling, there is an element of mixing with other people. I happen to think that negative test came before he travelled. And I think he didn't play today because he's not had a week's worth of training. More than the fact that he's had a negative test.
Who knows? All I know is that I got a lot of grief over the weekend. Well, the latter part of last week, because people kept asking my opinion on Salah. What should I do about Salah?
Yeah.
And my opinion has been throughout of this, you hold, he's going to be back for Brighton. And I was getting a lot of grief for that. A lot of people saying, why would you hold somebody? He might not be back. And I get it. I do get it with the Ronaldo thing. Like, Ronaldo was out for, 20 days or something?
Yeah.
So I can understand it. But equally, it never looked like it was going that way with Salah. It was like they were testing him so regularly because he was clearly fine. And they were just waiting for a negative test.
Yeah, okay.
And I just felt like I wanted him for this Brighton game that's coming up next, and even more so now with Lamptey out.
Yeah. You keep talking. I'm going to turn this fan off. There's a fan on in the other room and it's really annoying me. It's going to have loads of background noise.
So I think
there's a fan on my laptop not helping. There we go.
For me, right. I was very much in the keep Salah camp, and I think a negative test today or yesterday or whenever it appeared, that negative test, whenever he actually took it, seems to be the right decision.
Well, it split the community, didn't it, last week? A lot of people selling. I wonder now, looking like he might be fit for Brighton, whether people are going to bring him back in and how they're going to do it. It's going to be difficult to do.
Depends who you went to, I guess, didn't it? If you went to Bruno, it was the right thing to do to sell him.
Yes.
But if you went to a City player, it was definitely wrong.
Very good. We've got Josh in FPL telling in and moderating tonight. Hey, Josh, how are we doing? Happy with that Manchester United result? If not the performance, mate, who knows? Let us know in the chat. Andrew Yee from our Patreon is here. Hey, Andrew, how are you doing? Nigel Sam is in. Brian Springer is here. How are we doing? Lee, please ask Sam whether she now likes Mourinho. And is it Poch who from Brian?
It will never be Poch who. I mean, I love Poch. But I said to you the other night, didn't I? I feel like I've turned a corner.
I think we all have with Jose at Spurs.
I feel like I've turned a corner. I feel like...
just noticed, by the way, you're wearing your Christmas jumper. Is this not a bit early?
Yeah, sod it. Sod it. This year...
2020 can do
absolutely
one.
Absolutely
Christmas
do
can't
one.
Come quick enough.
Christmas, the tree's up.
Bring it on. Bring
whatever.
It on.
You'll
bring
see
on.
This jumper probably every week from
that's
now
that's it. It's on every week. Mr. Wazap 19 is in. How are we doing? Very nice to see you. Scott... oh, butchered his name there. The OG, I butchered it. Scott Schrager. Sorry, Scott. Scott is in. Good evening, FPL family. Chelsea versus Spurs next week will be a fun watch. Well, that is certainly one word for it. I'm looking forward to that. And I'm going to be on the Scoutcast match day with Gianni and Seb during that game. So I'm very much looking forward to that game.
If we win, I'm invading the stream because Gianni's a massive Chelsea fan. I tell you what, if we win, I'm in.
I actually don't think it's Seb. I think it might be Toby.
Right, well, if it is...
so you've got Toby versus Gianni, which, as you guys will know on Twitter, is a good head-to-head battle, even on Twitter. but on a Scoutcast match day with me refereeing in the middle,
you're
and
not
you
in the middle.
Pitch invading, that could be quite interesting.
You're not in the middle. You want
I'm not
Spurs
in the middle.
Win.
I do want a Spurs win.
And I'll be in.
Right.
Gianni.
Yeah, I 100% will want a Spurs win because over the course of the season, you're far less of a threat than Chelsea.
Cream.
Mark Dorney is in.
Cream.
Mark Dorney is in. How are we doing, Mark? Joseph Perry is in. How are we doing, Joseph? Very nice to see you. He says, my dad has triple Southampton defence. It still could be
have two.
A good week for Joseph's dad. FPL Tips is here. How are we doing, Tips? Nice to see you. Did I see that you got 83 this week, Tips?
Harry.
83,
Harry.
We've got
to make the
goodness
most of speaking
me.
This week because come Friday night, me and you, that we're is, not speaking until Monday.
That is unreal, mate. What a score. Stealth Panda is here. Ken's, how are we doing? A whole host of you guys in, guys. So thank you very much for joining us here on FPL Family this evening. There's our Twitter, as I mentioned, on the left-hand side, at FPL Family. And of course, you can find Sam over on Instagram, at FPL Family over there. I hope you guys are enjoying the fleets. Do you know what a fleet is?
Oh, well, this is your attempts to copy stories, right?
Insta stories is sort of now on Twitter and they call it
what
fleets.
What are you doing on it?
Just a load of old guff. Same as I usually do on Twitter, to be honest. A load of old guff. Just putting some pictures. I don't know. I haven't got the hang of it yet. I'm in my mid-30s. A fleet. No, I'm not down with the kids.
Probably
right. I certainly was yesterday. I certainly was yesterday. And we're going to start.
Hiccups, I apologise, guys.
We're going to start with yesterday and some of those games that made me oh so grumpy. I need to refresh this because I haven't got the Leeds or the Liverpool score on here. So let's go down here and have a look at some of these scores from yesterday. Talk me through Newcastle 0, Chelsea 2. Don't want to talk in any detail really about Newcastle. I know their upcoming fixtures look pretty good from a Geordie perspective.
Uninspiring,
but
though, right?
Really uninspiring. Mm. Really uninspiring. And I know, oh man, Callum Wilson didn't get the start. So if you've got Callum Wilson, I think, is he a hold or not with those fixtures? I don't really know. But one thing's for sure, Joe Linton ain't getting the most out of Alan St. Max. It's just not working for him. I'd much rather spend our time this evening, which is precious given how late we are into the evening, talking about Chelsea going forward. So Chelsea, I think, looked phenomenal the weekend. Another very, very good professional performance. A very good performance again from Ben Chilwell, who's in both our teams. I think he got 7 points. Regularly now ticking over the 6, 7, 8 pointers, Ben Chilwell. Really like him as an FPL asset. Talk to me about Chelsea going forward, though. Are you tempted by the left foot of Ziyech or Werner, who the assist for the Tammy Abraham goal, by the way, was sensational? And on a broader point, I'd like to get your thoughts on this, guys, particularly FPL Tips, if you're in the live chat, Harry. Get in the comments below if you're watching the replay. What do you think of this TNT, this dynamite up front? Tammy and Timo up front is looking very, very good indeed, isn't it?
TNT?
Yeah.
Have you come up with that?
No, I saw it on Twitter. I should have said I'd come up with that. You'd have been impressed, wouldn't you?
No.
No. Go on then. Chelsea thoughts.
Yeah.
You don't sound convinced.
No, I am. I'm still.
Still without a Chelsea attacker in your team.
Yeah. I am.
Okay. And with Spurs up next, I'd suggest that you're not looking to get one in.
Not for next week. No.
Okay. Interesting. Okay.
I can't. Every single player in my team plays against someone else in my team for next week.
I was looking at my bus team.
Everyone.
It's looking a bit of a challenge.
Everyone. They all play against each other. There's not a single player that's playing someone that's not a team that's not in my team, if that makes sense. There was a lot of word team in there. But going back to Chelsea, I think for me, yes, absolutely, I will invest in a Chelsea forward. I think it's bordering on essential now that you do. I think Ziyech looked very good again against Newcastle. Okay, no returns this time around, but still looked good.
How do you see that game going? Spurs-Chelsea, honestly. Next week, how do you see that game going, Spurs-Chelsea?
We're better away from home.
Mm.
We'll go to play, they'll play us. I think it'll be 2-2, 2-1.
I think it'd be a good game, because from what I've seen from Chelsea, the delivery of Ziyech, the delivery of Chilwell, from set pieces, they do look very dangerous. And without Toby in there, I think that'll make a difference.
But
I do think that you can get in behind him.
Yeah, I do too. I think the Toby thing is important. Of course it is, and it's going to hurt me to say this, but I don't think Toby's our most important defender anymore. I think Dier is. I think he's.
Wow, yeah, he had a good game actually, Dier.
I think he's positioned Dier with a sense of responsibility amongst that in the middle there, and I think it's Dier and another. I don't think it's Toby and another anymore.
But Chelsea, you're not feeling that momentum going forward yet.
I am.
But after Spurs, game week 11.
I just think that there's other teams that I would want to invest in with nicer fixtures for next week, and then obviously after that. I'll be all aboard a Chelsea bandwagon in some form or another, and probably it will still be Ziyech. I think he's still the one I'm looking at.
Okay, well, listen, Leeds at home in game week 11, and then Everton and Wolves away before West Ham at home for Chelsea. So if you look at the Fantasy Football Scout fixture ticker, or if you look at the FDR on the Premier League website, middling, to say the least, for Chelsea, but on form.
Yeah.
And they've really tightened up at the back. So if you've not looked at Ben Chilwell yet, I would seriously have a look at him. He looked very, very attacking.
Zouma looked really attacking as well.
Zouma looked great as well. But what I will say about Chilwell is every time I see him, he wants to bomb forward. Actually, Reece James is a good shout. If you can't stretch Chilwell, potentially go for Reece James in the knowledge that, okay, he might get rested and rotated. He hasn't been. There's always that risk.
Yeah, there is.
But he hasn't been, and he's been looking pretty good. Let's move on to Aston Villa 1, Brighton 2. So this was a massive captain fail for me this week. I went for Grealish captain. Thought that Villa would get in amongst it. I thought Brighton would try to play out. I thought that high energy and high tempo from Villa would win the ball up high on the pitch in their third of the pitch, and they'd get in there. My heart sank, to be honest with you, on 2 minutes when Barkley went off. Because you know, and as a Grealish captain, I was like, swear word incoming, because Barkley, since he's been there, has been like a metronome. He's setting the tempo, he's the one running them down, he's the one setting the energy levels for the rest of the team. And I thought without him there, and he put kind of weirdly Traore on, who then proceeded to take all of the set pieces, which again, as a Grealish captain, I was like, what are you doing? Stop taking all the free kicks, let Grealish take the free kicks. And then Grealish kind of went a bit more central, but was kind of drifting out to the right, and he and Watkins were kind of getting in each other's way. So my fear now, having sat here for many weeks saying Grealish looks pretty essential in FPL, if Barkley's out for long term, and it looks as if he's tweaked his hamstring, so we've got to wait to see how long he's out for. But if he is out for a while, that coupled with the fact that Ollie Watkins now clearly is the penalty taker at Aston Villa, because he was ready to take that penalty in the 91st minute.
You want to see how annoyed Lee was? You thought Lee was annoyed on Twitter? Ollie Watkins standing with the penalty ball. Oh my God, Lee was. I thought you were going to lose the plot.
Well, listen, it was another borderline VAR call, wasn't it? I mean, for me, it's a penalty, but listen, whatever.
No, I don't mean the VAR call itself. I mean Ollie Watkins taking the penalty.
Get upset about FPL anymore. I get upset about VAR. I was getting upset about VAR. But Ollie Watkins clearly is the penalty taker now. So all of a sudden, I've gone from Jack Grealish is, you know, first choice, first pick in my FPL team to maybe he's expendable. I don't know. How did you feel about the game? And we'll talk about Brighton in a second. But Villa, going forward, their fixtures still look pretty good. West Ham, Newcastle. That Newcastle at home game in particular looks good. Away to Wolves, home to Burnley, away at West Brom. There's nothing about those fixtures that scream in sell to me in terms of Grealish and Watkins. But that Barkley injury is going to affect the dynamic.
It will. And you said something interesting during that game when we were watching it. You said, and you're right, you said Watkins is quite an instinctive player, and when he just goes, it's better. And when he's got too much time to think, he
a bit of an overthinker, isn't he, I think? Yeah.
Might
be wrong about that. I haven't seen enough of him to say that for sure, but that's my initial reaction.
Yeah, I'm going to bench him next week.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because coming up against Fabianski, who's the top point-scoring keeper in the game at the moment, and I think the way that West Ham playing, I don't think that Ollie Watkins will get that many good opportunities. I think he'll get a few, but I don't get a lot. And for me, I don't know. I mean, look, I mean, we're guaranteed to get at least a hat trick next week now because I'm benching it, because he always does when he's sat on my bench. I don't know. It's a tough call with.
I think Watkins is absolutely fine to hold and play. With those fixtures, at his price, on penalties for a reasonably attacking Villa side, even without Barkley, I think you keep him. The question is now, Grealish owners, I think, now have a decision to make, potentially. Ahead of those fixtures, I can't sell. Well, I look at, say, so for example, Paul fans in the live chat, thank you for the comment, Jota is cheaper and better. So, and Juzo in the live chat, you know, yeah, Grealish to who, right? So a lot of people now thinking, well, maybe it's not Grealish is the answer. I don't know. So more to come on Aston Villa and Grealish throughout the week. But Brighton, for their part, nice finish by Danny Welbeck for the first goal. But it was kind of poor defending from Aston Villa's point of view. For me, I thought Mings got all out of shape at the back there. And Welbeck just took the chance really well. Brighton's fixtures coming up are Liverpool, obviously, next. So I don't think you want to invest ahead of Liverpool travelling to the Amex. But then Southampton at home, again, difficult game. Away at Leicester. before it gets a little bit nicer with Fulham and Sheffield United. So for me, despite that nice result for Brighton, I still think I'm scouting for the next three ahead of potentially a move on one of them in game week. What's that? 10, 11, 12, 13 for Fulham and Sheffield United back to back.
Yeah. It's tough, isn't it? Because I think that Liverpool game was always going to be a hard game for Brighton, and it's been made increasingly difficult without Lamptey now going into it. Lamptey, the most frustrating player ever this week, because
should have had a double-digit haul, potentially.
I'm watching it's fantastic this game, in that game with Watkins and Lamptey, and I played them both on the basis that I felt that there wasn't really a clean sheet for either of them in there. That was my thinking, was that Brighton will get in behind Aston Villa, there'll be some goals there, and there'll be goals the other way. And I was right, there wasn't a clean sheet. So it was the right thought process that had gone through my head. Lamptey was like, I don't know, he was like a kid possessed. He was so
bombing
good.
Forward at every opportunity. So good. Very, very good.
And everything good that Brighton did in that game came out of something that Lamptey had done, be it at that end of the pitch or at the other end of the pitch. It didn't really matter. He was everywhere and he was so good.
I thought, interestingly, sorry to cut across you, but I thought Target was left really exposed by Grealish, though, on that side. I thought when Grealish was on that side, he didn't really track back much, Grealish. I know I'm a bit against Grealish here. I know you guys in the live chat saying, Lee, doesn't need to jerk on Grealish. You don't need to worry about him. Those fixtures you've got to keep. I think I agree with you guys. I don't think I'm going to be knee-jerking Grealish out of my team, given that he was essential a couple of days ago. But certainly when he was on that left, he wasn't tracking Lamptey. And Lamptey, and I think Target picked up a booking right on half-time, and he had a torrid time in that second half. And in the end, the Lamptey red card, if you've got him, I think there's an argument to say that you possibly would have benched him against Liverpool next weekend anyway. So I think he's probably just a reluctant hold, isn't he? Or are you thinking of moving him on?
No, I'm thinking it's tough.
Yeah.
Because maybe we'll go to Man City next, because it kind of links in, because I'm in my head, I'm trying to work out what my strategy for Man City is. And I'm looking at the Man City forwards thinking, I'm not sure about that. But I'm looking at the Man City defenders thinking, well, that fixture list that you've coming up should have a lot of clean sheets in it. So where do I want to go with this? Do I want to go with a City defender? Because I've got the money to do that, to upgrade Lamptey to Cancelo or Diaz, either one.
Okay.
Do I go there and know that there's clean sheets almost guaranteed, you would think, and there's potential for attacking returns too? Or do I hold Lamptey where there's less of a chance of a clean sheet, but there is good potential for attacking returns still from him? It's a bit of a tough bag, and he might end up going.
As he's in the live chat, he's saying Lamptey is like Roadrunner. He is. He's quick when he gets going, isn't he? Absolute. He's on like rocket skates half the time, Lamptey. So Brighton, I think for me, will be a bit of a wait and see. Not bringing
any, right?
I don't own any. If you remember rightly, I had Morpie and Lamptey for a while on my wild card, which promptly transferred out a couple of weeks later. Morpie, I don't know what to say about this guy. Couldn't hit a barn door, to be honest with you. Really gone off the boil since the first two games of the season. Let's discuss Spurs 2, Man City 0 then, which I'm sure you are keen to discuss. Spurs getting off to a fantastic start with Son sticking it through Edison's legs within the first 5 minutes, which was fantastic for Son owners. Interestingly, Sam, the most sold FPL player ahead of this game week. So a lot of players will have moved Son on, admittedly for Bruno probably. So a lot of Son sellers will go, well, listen, it was for Bruno. But there were a few Son to Rashfords, there were a few Son to Man City players. And actually, Son is now, I think, either joint top scorer in the league, or maybe, is he one below?
No, I think he's top now.
Is he top scorer? I think he's right up there anyway.
He was top yesterday anyway. I don't know if anyone's overtaken him today.
Yeah, okay, but he's right up there anyway. But talk to me about the Spurs performance and give me your feeling then on this fixture swing for Man City and fixture swing, which we're already in for Spurs. We're already in. So if you guys need reminding, the fixtures for Man City coming up: Burnley, Fulham, Man United away, West Brom at home, Southampton away, which is why we're all getting excited about Man City, but lacking a bit of form, to say the least. Whereas you look down the other end of the ticker and you've got Spurs playing Chelsea away next, Arsenal at home, which actually might not be a bad fixture, Crystal Palace away, Liverpool away, Leicester at home, yet are in phenomenal form. So here we are at a real apex, I think, in FPL, and it is going to be the talking point of the week, in my opinion. Form or fixtures? And try and be as unbiased as you can, because I think your natural reaction is to say form, but it's Spurs, right? It must be Spurs. But you can't ignore those City fixtures.
In every other season, every other season I would have sat here and said, and I have been saying, you can sell one Spurs player. You can sell one. You can keep the other one. But this season, the fixtures, we've seen some such bonkers and bizarre results over the last few weeks. And we've seen some such inconsistent performances from so many sides from one week to the next.
Sure.
Villa, who we've just been talking about, are a prime example of that.
Oh, it's like a roller coaster only then this year.
Exactly. But yeah, you've got Spurs, who, since game week one, forget that one aside, have been consistent.
Yeah.
They've been consistently scoring goals. And in terms of the players that we're talking about anyway, Son and Kane, for the most part, it's been consistent over the course of that time. Now, obviously, Son's had a few blanks and Kane hasn't had any since game week one. And there are, there's upsides and there's downsides to them both. But for me right now, I didn't see anything from City in that game going forward that makes me think I must invest in Kevin De Bruyne or any of them, to be fair. Jesus, I didn't think, had a great game. Ferran Torres, I can see some value in him. I can, because of his price point. I can see some value in owning him. Foden, another benching, it's just...
coming on for a cameo. Sterling on for a cameo.
And that won't happen going forward, because obviously Sterling, you'd think, would start again.
But here's why I agree with you on City, because, and I think Gary Neville said it, maybe in a post-match, or he said it over the weekend at some stage during one of his Sky interviews or whatever. He was saying City have lost their punch.
Yeah.
Now, I'm absolutely fully prepared for you guys to get in the comments, get in the live chat and cane me for this.
Hey, cane me for this.
But I think City... look, I know I'm a red, we're top of the league, and you know City aren't there, and it's a different sort of season. We're second. But City really have lost their mojo. I think they've lost something.
Pep has lost his mojo.
Well, it's the players though as well. I look around that team and I think there's some really good players there.
Yes.
There's some really good players like Rodri, like Cancelo, like Ruben Diaz. They're like Jesus. There's some absolutely cracking players. But there is not. They're not world class. They're not Kompany, Fernandinho, Aguero, and all those that. Teams used to turn up to the Etihad and go, we ain't winning this today. They used to get beat before they even turn up because they know that City are that good. But they're just not that good at the moment. They are good. They're a really good side. And those fixtures coming up, they might go on a tear up now. But I don't think that they're going to.
But look at Burnley, right? Now, Burnley against Spurs. When Burnley want to defend, they can. They can turn it on defensively when they want to. They don't always. We've seen that so far this season. But they can. Who have they got after Burnley?
It's Burnley, then Fulham. That's the game, isn't it?
Fulham at home. The Fulham game. And so for me, this is my position on City. I probably am going to bring in a City defender this week. That'll probably be my transfer this week.
Cancelo or Diaz?
Probably, yeah. One of the Cancelo. Other. Probably Cancelo.
Okay.
On the basis that I don't see Burnley scoring any goals. I mean, they haven't been. They've been awful attacking-wise. So I think there's a clean sheet in there. And then if there's a clean sheet, there's bonus points potentially, because I also don't see City going on a riot against Burnley.
No.
But that gives me another week of watching time to watch City against Burnley.
And how they play potentially against a low block.
Yeah, because then they've got Fulham the week after. Now, that's the game that you're going to want to see.
That is the worry, isn't it?
That's the one.
Because even West Brom in, 13? West Brom at home in game week... Is that 13? I think it is. It obviously got the game at Old Trafford. Then it's West Brom in 13. Even then, we've seen West Brom sit in frustrating at Old Trafford against you guys the other week. But that Fulham game looks unreal, doesn't it?
And I think you've got... If you're not already on a City forward, I think... This is my view. You can feel free to disagree with me, but I feel like we have a week. This Burnley game isn't going to be a riot. I don't see that happening. I didn't see that from Man City against Spurs. They're not clinical at the moment. So they might be getting a lot of opportunities, but they're not being clinical. And against Burnley, they will have to be clinical, like as Spurs saw when we went there. So I think we've got a week where we can wait it out. We can see what happens with Sterling. Aguero was obviously benched for this week. See how he comes back into that side against Burnley. And it gives us the scope to work out which way we go with City ahead of that Fulham game where you're going to want one.
I think my biggest challenge is that it's the how do I get there. That's the problem. If I could keep my Spurs players and say, right, I'll have them and I'll have a KDB or whatever fine. But I can't. To get to City, really, I've got to lose Salah or I've got to lose Son or and or Kane.
Mm.
And right now, I just don't feel comfortable. Despite Spurs' fixtures, I mean, they look absolutely incredible. Mr. Super Chat, while we were talking about City there, from Stealth Panda, Ken, thank you for the Super Chat. He's still baffled, Sam, how Foden doesn't start in that team. Absolutely baffled. And I must admit, I thought this was going to be his season. I thought this was the season where, you know, David Silva's retired. This is the season Foden's going to come to the fore. And for the first few game weeks, kind of looked like that. But now what's that? Four back-to-back benchings? If you've got him, what would you do now if you were a Foden owner? Do you keep him ahead of this run or do you cut your losses? You have to keep now, don't you, surely? You can't sell a Man City asset ahead of those fixtures. Or can you?
I'd sell him.
You clearly think you can.
I'd sell Foden. If I owned him, I'd sell him. And I tell you why. Because he's... That City side is about to have its bigger players back. Like, Sterling was benched this week, ready to come back, and obviously he'll just take the Mahrez position, so that's fine. But Aguero is about to be back. Now, how is he going to play that Jesus-Aguero situation? Are we going to see them both? Because we did see a lot of them both together.
Sure.
Earlier in Project Restart.
Back in the last season, yeah. Yes.
So we did see them together. Now, the more these players return from injury, the less that means that Foden's going to get time on the pitch. The time that Foden would have been starting games would have been when the injury crisis was in its full pelt, and we didn't see it then. I think he's going to come on for 30 minutes. Now, does that make him a bad asset? No, because he can still return points in 30 minutes, but it makes him a stressful, hard own, particularly when you think that Jota is on the same price tag.
He is a stressful own, I'll give you that. I'll give you that. Jake Jones is in. He's saying, is Cancelo still worth buying? I think he is. I think he is. And I do think if I was going to invest in Man City going into next game week, it probably, I'm with you, I think I would go for the defence.
Mm.
However, I was thinking of Cancelo in for Robertson was going to be my transfer, but clearly probably not going to do that now. More on that a bit later on. From a Spurs perspective, though, they're holds, aren't they? They're just holds. It's looking so, so good for Spurs. I do have a bit more of a concern than you do about Toby Alderweireld, not just from a defensive perspective, but I do like the way he gets his head up and he does that diagonal so, so, so well. And it'd be interesting now to see whether Joe Roden can do that if he's the guy coming in, because Sanchez can't do that. Sanchez's got a lot of good qualities as a defender, but he can't pick a pass like Toby can. If Roden can do it, great. If he can't, then it's going to be balls to feet into Sissoko and then Ndombele and players like that. And then you've got a transition a bit more than go a bit more direct. But listen, Spurs have got the capability to do that, no doubt about it. So Spurs now sitting pretty at the top of the league. Let's go and talk about this game then. Goodness me. Manchester United 1, West Brom 0. Not too much to talk about from a West Brom perspective, other than Sam Johnson. I thought had a fantastic game. Again, what a goalkeeper. But Manchester United do what I think Manchester United have been doing a lot lately. I mean, they've got a cup. Don't look at me like that.
I'm just waiting for it.
I'm not going off on one. I've got, there's too many Man United fans in the chat and there'll be too many in the comments going after me after this one. I've got the City fans already on my back. I don't need the other half of Manchester on my back as well. Bruno Fernandes, what can you say about this guy? What can you say? Should have been a penalty at the other end, my opinion. A VAR thought differently, but it's clear as day a penalty. Goes down the other end. I think it's Telles who smacks it into the arm of the defender, who's looking the other way, a la Eric Dier against Newcastle a few weeks back. And they get a penalty. And he takes it, misses, and then gets to the... Oh, just unbelievable. For Bruno captainers like yourself, that was, I think, a 24-point swing, which in real money is something, I don't know, what, half a million in overall rank? I mean, absolutely unreal. Now, listen, I am bitter about it, no doubt about it, because I'm a non-Bruno owner.
Are you?
If I was a Bruno owner, I'd be absolutely loving it. So, guys, if you captained Bruno this week, let me know how you feel about that in the chat and in the live comments and in the comments below, because I feel sick about it, absolutely sick about it. Nothing about that Manchester United performance I thought was any good whatsoever. I thought Bruno is so head and shoulders better than everybody else in red on that pitch. Mm. It's untrue. They haven't even got a player that is fit to lace his boots, Bruno. Without Bruno, Ollie would be out of a job already. So, all right, I've said all that. I've said my bit. Still haven't got Bruno in my team, though. Even on a bad day, he gets 11 points. On a good day, Everton, he's getting 17. What am I doing without him in my team?
Reverse back in time, back to February, when he arrived and he first started playing he was essential. We all said it. Everyone owned him. It was nice owning him. And Man United weren't that good back then either. They weren't. No. They weren't that good back then either. And Bruno was the one that was doing all the magic stuff. Now, for me, he has been a difficult own, Bruno. And it hasn't really been for any fault of his own. Because every game, every week, regardless of whether Bruno's return points or not, I sit here and I say the same thing. Bruno was outstanding. He's the leadership quality. He's this, he's that, he's the other. That was the same on Saturday.
Yeah.
It was exactly the same on Saturday. West Brom did what you suggested last week might happen. They played in the same way that they did against Spurs. Yeah. They made it really
That's
hard.
What annoys me even more, is I called the game right.
You did.
And on another day, Bruno's the villain, because he gives away the penalty, they stick it away, and they go park the bus for a 1-0 win at Old Trafford.
Yes. Leave that penalty aside, because I agree with you. I agree with you. It should have been a penalty. I think West Brom were hard done by, and I spoke to a few Man United fans who also agreed that that was the case. Go up the other end. I also agree with you. I hate this penalty thing for the hand when you're not even looking the same way.
Unreal.
It's like the Eric Dyer one still upsets me.
Oh.
That one was the same. The retake of the penalty, though, I agree with. He was off the line. That is the rule.
That's true. So yes, the retake can't be argued with.
So I'm not arguing that you can't argue about that. That's fair. That's right. But Bruno
still lucky, though, isn't it? Still lucky. I ain't having this. I'm not having this. Twitter's full of if you think Bruno captainers were lucky, then you don't know your F. Shut up. So lucky. So lucky. Unbelievably lucky. I'm not having it. It's never a penalty. He takes it and misses with his little hop. Gets another bite of the cherry and scores. 3 bonus points. 11 points. 22 for captors. Absolutely unreal. I was so annoyed about it.
But the thing is, this situation won't go away. This is my point.
This is the thing. I need to get him in. I feel like I've got to get him in. Not because I want to, but because I feel like that's how FPL's played this year. You've got people smashing it into people's hands for penalties. Especially United, that's like their 6th or 7th one this season. But Vardy's the same.
But this has been a thing all year. This penalty thing has been here all year. And we've said since...
I can't get my head around it. It does my head in.
But we've said since game week one that you need... That if you're going to invest in... If you're going to invest, look at the penalty takers. Look at the talisman. Man United are having a bad season. But he is their talisman and their penalty taker. And everything that is good about Manchester United right now is Bruno. In a nutshell, it's him.
Tips is in. Do you want some salt with those chips, Lee? Yes, I do, Tips.
Oh,
I do.
Harry.
You have no idea, Harry. This is a fraction of how upset I was yesterday. Honestly. I was fuming yesterday.
At one point, we went to bed, we were still talking about this, and he said something and
I couldn't
thought,
sleep last night because of Bruno, David Koo. I couldn't sleep.
So
it annoyed me that
we
much.
We were in the middle of a conversation about this and Lee was so upset and I thought, I'm just going to go to sleep. And I'm not going to respond to the last thing he's just said because it can only get worse, this conversation. So I just went to sleep and hoped that when he woke up this morning, he'd be in a better mood than he was. But
what they've got now is, so United have got 2 away games, Southampton and West Ham.
Yeah. What are you going to do about that?
He's coming in then, isn't he? He's got to come in because in away games, he goes absolutely mental. So you've got to have him, haven't you?
Well, I think
so.
So
annoying.
But why is it annoying?
Because that's... Right. This is going to go down like a fart in a lift, this comment. It's because it's not how FPL should be played, in my opinion.
What?
In my
opinion. Bringing in the informed players.
You can't have penalties given for Alex Telles smashing it. Who, by the way, was shoot on sight yesterday, wasn't he, Telles? Goodness me. He might get his eye in, he might be all right, but yesterday's rubbish. Shooting at defenders' arms when they're not looking, getting a penalty... And just getting a penalty and 3 bonus points every week. That's not FPL for me. That is not FPL.
Right. Forget how he scored the points for a second. Just forget the penalty for a minute. If you just looked at the score lines and saw Bruno in the way that he was, would go, I need to buy this player. Just because he's getting his points by penalties. I've been saying this about Vardy, haven't I? How many times have I said about Vardy? I don't think he's an asset, but you can't take the penalties out of it. And if you can't take the penalties out of it, then he is an asset and he's worth investing in. And it's exactly the same with Bruno.
All right. Well, listen, I'm only bitter because I don't own him. If I owned him, I'd be absolutely fine with that 11 points and I probably would have captained him. But I don't own him. I'm now worried and I think I have to get him. But if I have to get him, it will be at the expense of Son. And that makes me feel dirty and horrible and I don't want to do it.
Just get rid of Grealish.
I'm not getting rid of Grealish. You heard of those fixtures? Look at the fixtures!
Just get rid of Grealish.
Whatever.
Grealish is not essential.
Anyway, moving on, because there is nothing else to talk about from Man United except Bruno Fernandes. The rest of them can't finish their dinner. Rashford, oh man, he was just off it, wasn't he? And it got, I think he got a bit of a problem with his shoulder again, and Martial got a couple of nice chances but couldn't finish it. So
Martial, I don't know what has happened to him, but he's useless.
All over the shop, all over the shop. The live chat, Sam, were absolutely right when they corrected me earlier when they said Dominic Calvert-Lewin actually is top scorer in the Premier League right now. Son is second, but Dominic Calvert-Lewin is top. Before we get to Fulham 2, Everton 3, I want to give your opinion on that in a second. Tips is in with a super chat. Thank you, Tips. He's saying Salah, Kane, Son, KDB and Bruno. Can you have three of these who you're going for? As always, thank you for the amazing content. Thank you, Tips. Appreciate it, mate. If you were going to pick three of those, Kane, Salah, Son, KDB and Bruno.
I've got four or five.
You've got four of them, have you? You've got Salah, Kane, Son and Bruno.
Yeah.
So you're only missing KDB.
Yeah.
All right. So if you had to drop one of those four, who would you drop? Salah, Kane, Son or Bruno?
Well, I wouldn't.
It's not the question Tim has asked.
Harry!
Just get Eve Bissouma and find a way to get all four.
Not wrong with Eve Bissouma.
There's nothing wrong with Eve Bissouma. Nothing wrong with Eve Bissouma. So Dominic Calvert-Lewin...
Just get them all, Tips. Just get them all.
Dominic Calvert-Lewin is the top scorer in the Premier League right now. Scored within the first minute. And the writing was on the wall there. Or so it looked. For Fulham. Come back into it. And of course, we made a joke at the beginning of this live stream about the penalties. But goodness me, if they'd scored both of those...
It's not funny though, is it?
If they'd scored both of those stupid penalties, they could feasibly be a couple of points better off right now. And not look quite so bad at the bottom of the league there. But listen, defensively, they look shot. They look all over the place, Fulham. And if you look at their fixtures coming up, they've got Leicester coming up next. So do you want a captain Vardy or somebody like that? Then it's City after that, which is the game we mentioned before. So there's a City captaincy there. Then it's Liverpool. So you're talking about a Salah or a Mane. Then Brighton and Newcastle. So the next three for Fulham, feasibly, they could get 0 points out of nine there. And you could be looking at big captaincy hauls against that really, really leaky Fulham back line. So I don't want to talk too much about Fulham other than target them for your captaincy. Everton, on the other hand, we sat here last week and I remember asking you the question, if Richarlison's back, is it as simple as that? He's back. Rodriguez is fitter. Dean is back from suspension, all the rest of it. They've got a full squad, full team again. Are they going to be back to normal? And we weren't sure whether it's going to be as simple as that. It does appear that it's as simple as that.
Yeah, and I think Dominic Calvert-Lewin is the way he's carrying on. I put him in the essential bracket alongside the guys that we've been talking about before.
Fantastic, isn't he?
I just
what
think
great value.
I mean, particularly if you've owned him since day dot. You know, the value in Dominic Calvert-Lewin is obscene. And he was still returning without Richarlison, just not on the level that he does. And, I have to give Richarlison some credit, which, as you well know, will pain me greatly. Because I don't think Richarlison is an FPL asset, but I do think he makes Dominic Calvert-Lewin an even better.
Oh, he 100% does. I want to give a shout out to Gaz. Highbury Boys Yorkshire is in. Gaz, who we had the Zoom with a few days ago, he decided to talk to me, but you came in at the end and we were having a quick Zoom together. Went with Dominic Calvert-Lewin as captain in the end. So nice one, Gaz. Nice one, mate.
I'm interested to know what you did about Antonio, because Antonio was supposed to play. And
he's got Antonio in his team, actually. Yeah, so Gaz, let us know in the live chat what you did with Antonio, mate. But very nice to meet the other day. Glad the Dominic Calvert-Lewin captaincy came in for you. Also came in for Joe Finley-Badder. Other DCL captainers out there, he says. So obviously, Joe with a really nice captaincy there on Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Another super chat, Sam, from Moha. Thank you, Moha, for the super chat. Are Chilwell plus... Oh, blimey, there's a lot of names here, Sam. A lot of names.
Oh.
Are Chilwell, Son and Bruno and Kane now an essential FPL spine? Much like Trent, Salah, KDB and Ings last year. Just build the team around these four. Chilwell, Son, Bruno, Kane.
It's my team.
Is that the template spine now in FPL? Feels like it, right?
If you haven't read it, go on the FF Scout website. My last article, I've got another one out this week, but my last article was about, is it time to restructure our FPL teams? And is it time to rethink the way that we're investing? Because at the beginning of the season, we were all talking about big in the mid. Then we were kind of like all big in the mid, but also, you know, little at the back. And then sort of mixture up top. And it's been a bit all over the place. And my last article was like, it's time for a spine. It's time to invest fully throughout the pitch. That spine that Moha is talking about is mine. That they are mine. And I think it is. I think that is the way to go. And then you build the rest of the side around that.
Very nice. Right. Anybody else from Everton that's catching your eye right now? I think plenty. I didn't actually watch this game, did we? Busy with when this game was on. But I want to watch Match of the Day. I want to see how Dina got on, obviously, with the two assists.
Yeah.
See how Richarlison affects the team.
I think it's difficult, though, isn't it? Because they do like to leak a goal. Because it's... I mean, Pickford's in goal,
they like
right?
to leak two.
They do.
Actually, most weeks, at the moment, they're conceding two goals.
So for Dina, you are really... You're banking on there being some attacking returns. Now, he is getting them, of course. So from that point of view, I suppose, yes. But I'm not certain. I think there's a lot more clean sheets available in the league right now. And I would rather just have Dominic Calvert-Lewin and invest in my defence elsewhere.
Yeah.
The one I think is really interesting from an Everton point of view, though, is J-Rod. Because I think if you own J-Rod, that is a lot of blanks in a row now.
It is. I still think that's there's a niggly injury there somewhere. But the thing with James Rodriguez is you know historically what he's like with injuries.
Mm.
He has had them in his career. And I do wonder whether this latest one is a bit of a problem that he can't shake.
I think it's time to sell. Myself.
Okay. Better options, you think, in midfield?
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting. All right. Let's have a quick chat about, Sheffield United 0, West Ham 1. Allaire with the goal. Not much, I don't think, to report from the game.
Creswell clean sheet. Thank you.
A Creswell clean sheet is not to be sniffed at. You're absolutely right. And after sitting here caning Allaire a couple of weeks ago, he's come up, obviously, with the goal and what looks like three bonus points. So with West Ham's fixtures still continuing to be pretty good after that horrendous run they had early season, they got Villa, Man United at home next, so two home games back to back, then Leeds away, Crystal Palace at home. Next four look all right for West Ham.
And the one thing I will say is that Antonio, I think, is about to take a price drop tonight. So if you can pick
again?
Him up, yeah.
What's that, like 6-2?
I think he might be going down to 6-1.
No.
I think so.
Great value,
isn't
he?
If you can wait, like, because that's the thing. I'm like looking, we were talking about Watkins earlier, but I'm looking at West Ham's fixtures and thinking, well, could easily have a bit of Antonio in my life.
Absolutely.
And that would feel quite nice. So yeah, he's about to go down to 6.1. He's going to go tonight.
6.1, potentially.
According to Fix, he's going to 6.1 tonight. Now, 6.1... I think Antonio is a bargain.
Worth having a look, isn't he? Worth having a look. Sheffield United, not much to say there other than Sheffield United versus West
Ollie
Brom.
Ollie
McBurnie, really should learn how to score some goals, shouldn't he? Looked better than Brewster, though, because he can create a bit for himself. But there, Sheffield United against West Brom now next week, already, I think, that's a six-pointer written all over it, isn't it? They've both got to win that. Leeds 0, Arsenal 0. The Arsenal goal led a charmed life. I have absolutely no idea, A, how Arsenal didn't lose that game, and B, what the hell Pepe is thinking. In the current state of football with VAR, you can't move your head. All right, I think it's Rodrigo, isn't it? Or maybe it's Alioski. Goes down really, really easy. I get it. But as soon as Pepe's head moves towards you, you're going to go down. VAR's going to send you off. I don't know what you're doing. And Arteta, in the post-match, was raging. And rightly so.
I like that.
He's absolutely right to
me. I like that.
He's given the guy a chance. He said, right, I want to put a Bamiyang in the middle and you're going to get a chance now. Show me what you've got. Not only was he absolute guff in the game, but gets sent off and they almost lose the game because of it.
What is wrong with Aubameyang, though? Moving on from Pepe, because he's not an FPL asset. What the hell is wrong with Aubameyang? He played through the middle today, where he wants to be, apparently, and where he's supposed to be a good option.
I've no idea. I'd love to know. You guys in the live chat.
98-99 season since they've started this badly going forwards in the league.
Yeah. They've had, like, no shots on target. I think it's absolutely unreal. You look at it's not just the eye test that's failing them. Look at the underlying stats for Arsenal. They are all over the place. They don't know what they're doing going forward. I just honestly don't know. And without Thomas Partey there as well in the middle today, he did look a little bit exposed. And I think Leeds hit the post or the bar like four or five times. Unreal. Absolutely unreal. So I don't think I'm looking at any Arsenal going forward. It's Wolves at home for them next. Then it's the Spurs game, which is, goodness me, on current form, Spurs should walk that, shouldn't they? And then it's Burnley at home, Southampton at home. So listen, three home games in the next four for Arsenal. Those are the games where they've really got to turn it round. From a Leeds perspective, I thought both Dallas and Ayling looked pretty attacking, actually. Ayling from a positional sense, but Dallas from a, I'm just going to get in and around those areas and shoot on sight sense. He had a couple of opportunities, Dallas. So if you've still got those guys, the upcoming fixtures do look difficult. I got Dallas. Yeah, I third benched him this week, which I was a bit upset about. He picked up a booking and got five. So listen, I'm not going to cry too much about it. Everton and Chelsea away next. which don't look too great for them. But then it's West Ham and Newcastle after that, which might get a little bit better. I don't feel like transferring Dallas out is top of my to-do list right now. He can just stay there and be my 4.5, to be honest with you. If I had a wild card, I'd switch him for probably Kufau. But I'm not. It's not a big deal for me right now.
I might have the money to do Dallas. Do I have the money to do Dallas to Cancelo?
Dallas to Cancelo. That's one to look for. That's
I might
one
have
to
a look at
for.
That. I don't know.
Certainly thought Phillips made all the difference.
Yeah,
in
he was
Leeds.
Much better. Yeah,
certainly
much around, better.
I think Bamford owners, do not panic, Bamford owners.
He could have easily got
could have
today.
Had a couple of goals today. No question. Absolutely no question. Finish up on Liverpool 3, Leicester 0. What a fantastic goal that was by Jota.
Oh.
That's further. Jota's goal, again, fantastic. And for some reason, we're all still ignoring him in terms of being an FPL asset. But listen, Liverpool's fixtures coming up. Brighton away, Wolves at home, Fulham away in, what's that, game week 10, 11, 12, in 12. Before then, the Spurs game, which is starting to look like a very, very big game. But the next three for Liverpool, not only are they all teams that will struggle for goals, so those that are not on a Liverpool defender should probably start to have a look, I would think. But a lot of transfers out for Salah going into this game week, clearly. And again, a lot of people would have done that for Bruno, so that's absolutely fine. But those of you that did do Salah to Bruno, I'd be very interested to hear whether you are now thinking about getting Mo back in for that nice run of three fixtures there for Liverpool before that Spurs game. You've got Salah, haven't got a Liverpool defender, with Liverpool dropping like flies in the middle there. And Keita, we saw again today, we just finished watching the game. Done a hamstring, he's out as well. Liverpool starting to look light in that midfield three. Now, in next week, Thiago might be back, may have some players back. But I think we're going to see more of Nico Williams at right back for Liverpool going forward. And at 3.9, it could be three sixes for Nico Williams at 3.9 in the next three games. Because Trent, I think, is out for a little bit longer than we thought he might be. Klopp has come out and said, yeah, it's not quite as... he's not back quite as quickly as we thought. Maybe the calf isn't maybe healing as quickly as we thought. I think Nico, of course, he's a transfer waiting to happen down the line when Trent comes back. But Nico Williams at 3.9 for a Liverpool defender. Are you tempted as a short-term punt? No, I can tell you're not.
Is there a chance he don't play?
Of course.
Because there's Nat Phillips as well, right? Nat Phillips?
Yeah, Nat Phillips is a centre-half.
Is there a chance he doesn't play?
The only other players that can play at right back are Milner, who can't play two games in a week. And remember, we've got Champions League and stuff to play.
Yeah.
And we are very, very light now in that midfield three. We're running out of options because they're all blooming injured. So Nico Williams, against, you know, teams where, against Leicester today, you can see why he perhaps played Milner there to start with. But coming up against, you know, Brighton, Wolves and Fulham, I mean, not easy games. But you could see maybe Nico Williams getting a couple of starts. I can see that you're not tempted.
I am tempted because I'm annoyed that I didn't own a Liverpool defender for a clean sheet today.
Yeah.
It annoys me not having a Liverpool defender. I enjoy owning them.
Robbo for those next three, I'm very happy to have.
Yeah.
Very happy to have.
There's a difference though, isn't there, between owning Robbo and owning that. You know, I know that Nico Williams is a lot cheaper than Robbo. I get all of that. I've had a fear of rotation, but you've somewhat eased my fears, maybe.
Potentially. What did you make of the game anyway? Liverpool 3, Leicester 0. I thought it was a very, very professional performance by Liverpool in a game which,
surprisingly so,
potentially, I think a lot of spectators, a lot of the FPL community were looking at that going, well, listen, Liverpool patchwork defence, Vardy's going to have, you know, a good game, always like scoring against Liverpool. Mm. Madison coming back into the fight. This is going to be a very difficult game for Liverpool. I thought Liverpool controlled it from start to finish. Really, really good performance. And there's a couple of players. I thought Fabinho again at centre-half was absolutely phenomenal. And I thought Bobby Firmino, despite missing a couple of sitters, actually, could have had more than that one goal today. But the work rate again from him up front. And of course, Jota again. Not Mane's day. If you've got Mane, again, that's now, what, three or four blanks in a row for Mane in the Premier League. So some Mane owners will start getting itchy trigger fingers, that is undoubted. But with those fixtures coming up, I think that you stick. Just not his day today, Mane.
No, and I think, I mean, I must admit, I was surprised with the result today. I was not expecting it to be 3-0 Liverpool. I just didn't see that coming. I thought Leicester would turn up and really give you a game. I thought they would see it as a perfect moment, to be honest, to play Liverpool with a defensive problem and no Salah either. I felt just Leicester just lacked something today. I can't know what it was.
I just think Liverpool didn't let them play. I don't think you're giving Liverpool enough credit there. I think we controlled that midfield three. I thought Keita was fantastic until he went off. And we dominated. We absolutely dominated. A couple of super chats from you guys. Thank you, Rohith, for the super chat. Son over Kane. It's the conversation of goals over assists, considering Kane is dropping deep. Well, listen, both are pretty good picks. Both are bang, bang in form right now, Rohith. If you had to pick, gun to the head, had to have one only.
Kane
still. Still Kane. Ticking it over, isn't he? Every single week.
He's just the perfect FPL player.
And you're not getting
right
a lot of penalties.
No.
Imagine if you had a couple of penalties thrown in there as well.
He's the perfect FPL player right now. And I think we saw him dropping deep because we were playing against Man City. And we'll see him drop deep in some of the tougher games, but then we'll see him go forward in the way that we have in other weeks.
I noticed actually, just so I was coming onto the live stream, I was looking at the ICT index. Any of you guys that don't know what the ICT index is, it's the Premier League's index of influence, creativity and threat. If you use the app, you use the website, you can go and look at where they rank certain players depending on how much influence they have on a game, how creative they are in a game, and how much goal threat they carry in a game. Harry Kane, right now, first, and overall first at 600 players in the Premier League. He is smashing it this season, and he is sell him at your peril. Honestly, sell him at your peril. Rohith then backs up that super chat with another one. Lamptey, keep or sell, Sam, in a word?
Sell.
You think sell?
But it's really tight.
Okay, I'd be tempted to keep, you know. I think a lot of managers that have him probably would have benched him for that Liverpool game, and then he's coming back, I think, for Southampton. So for me, he'd be just to keep. I don't have him, but he would be just about a keep for me.
Not been very helpful there,
have we? We haven't, no, not at all. Leicester's fixtures coming up, though, Sam, are Fulham, Sheffield United, Brighton at home, and then Everton at home, then again before a Spurs game in game week, which looks like 14. So again, Fulham and Sheffield United next. A lot of managers won't be looking at Leicester because of the way they got beat today. But they should be, shouldn't they? Vardy owners have to keep, don't they, for those fixtures coming
yes,
up?
Yes, if you own 100%. Yeah. But do... I'll go back to this thing about penalties again with Leicester. I feel like Leicester are... They're made to look better because of the amount of penalties they've had this season. Now, you can't take that out of the game because, as we were saying about Bruno, that is an integral part of the game, particularly this season. But we saw today that whether that was due with Liverpool or Leicester, but they weren't at the races today, Leicester. Mm-hmm. They weren't. And I haven't felt that they were against other teams as well. I think particularly back to that game against, was it Southampton when they got too late on penalties and won the game 2-0? Uh-huh. There's been a few games like that. And I look at these games now. The Fulham game is, of course, it's Fulham and happy that could be anything. But I don't know what it is about Leicester right now. I just don't trust them.
Okay, well listen, Fulham up next. So if you're going to trust them in any game, Fulham at home has to be a game you trust them in.
Okay, but if you're going to bring in Vardy, it's to captain him, isn't it? But I think I'd rather captain Salah against Brighton.
Well listen, we've got a super chat from Gurav. He's saying, Sam, what do you think about this? Kane and Rashford out. He already owns Bruno, by the way, so that's why Rashford's going out. For Vardy and KDB for a -4. How do we feel about that? Kane and Rashford out for Vardy and KDB. I don't like any transfer, Gura, frankly, that is Kane out right now. Anything that says Kane out for whoever does not feel right to me whatsoever.
My honest opinion on that is that I haven't seen anything from KDB that makes me think he's going to outscore Kane in the next couple of weeks.
Okay. Gura then goes on to say, or option B is Bamford out for Vardy. He must have a lot on his bank. Bamford out for Vardy and then potentially captaining Vardy next game week.
If you've got enough money to go Bamford for Vardy, why don't you just go Rashford to KDB? And
that's
Kane?
True. Yeah, that's true. Gurav, let us know in the live chat how much money you've got in the bank, mate. It sounds like you've got quite a bit. My overriding feeling is you cannot sell Harry Kane right now. I know the fixtures. I know Chelsea away will be hard, but I'm telling you...
There's goals in that game.
Arsenal at home in game week 11, the way that Arsenal are playing, the way that behind the scenes in Arsenal is not that great at the minute, and the way behind the scenes at Spurs is great at the minute, the North London, the chemistry in that North London derby is only swinging one way at the moment.
North London derby, anything can happen.
I know, but it's only swinging one way, honestly. Rohit, thank you for the next super chat. Which City attacking player? Everyone's rotated. So, as we were saying, you know, I think Sam, you quite rightly said earlier on, probably going to wait possibly in that Burnley game, and then strike for the Fulham game. Again, if you had to choose bringing in one right now, would you still go for Kevin De Bruyne, or would you have a look somewhere else?
I might actually go Ferran Torres, to be honest.
Ferran Torres, interesting. Okay, interesting. All right, well, I think that's all the games covered. The only thing I will say about Liverpool, just to finish up, James Milner is going to get game time.
Oh, I love him.
He's going to get game time. Honestly, the way that Klopp spoke to him when Keita got injured, did you see? Milner went over to Klopp and was like, right, where do you want me? And he was just like, and he just went everywhere like that, didn't he? And Milner was like, okay, no problem. The guy is absolute, he's a machine, guys. Milner is a machine. He's absolutely incredible. Can play right back, left back, centre mid.
You're not advocating we get him, are you?
He is going to get game time. Two assists.
No.
Listen, Lee, just saying.
Have a sit down by Yotta, for goodness sake.
Well, there we go. We've got two other games, Sam, tomorrow night. We've got Burnley versus Crystal Palace, and we've got Wolves versus Southampton. I've got Che Adams and Carl Walker-Peters. Che and Carl Walker-Peters tomorrow for Southampton. Kilman's on my bench. I've got nobody in that Burnley Palace game. You're double Saints defence, aren't you, in that later game?
Carl McCarthy.
McCarthy and Carl Walker-Peters coming in for
you. Cowboys.
Absolutely love it. Super chat from Liam Healy before we move on. Hey, Liam, how are we doing? Bringing in Vardy this week and captaining him. Going to be popular, that. It's going to be a popular move, despite the faces we pull.
No, I can understand it.
It's going to be popular.
I'd have to lose Kane, and there's absolutely no way on this planet I'm taking Kane out for Vardy.
Just before we get to our teams and overall ranks, guys, I want to do a quick shout out to our manager of the month for October, which was David Coates. We mentioned this last week, David Coates, and he kindly sent us a picture. He tweeted a picture of his brand new signed Kane shirt. How good does that look, Sam?
I really love it.
Looks good, doesn't it? Looks good.
I'm going to see it. He only lives down the road.
He lives down the road.
I'm going to go and see it.
So, David, thank you for the picture. David was our October Manager of the Month in our Patreon, patreon.com/FPL family. If you want to check it out and take part in our monthly Manager of the Month competition. David won in October. That was his prize. We've had other people coming on and getting the Champions of Europe 6 shirt. We've had signed, I think, Arsenal street signs with Arsenal signatures. Yeah. All sorts, guys, up for grabs. On our partner's website, kickingtheballswith2s.com. You can check out, obviously, all the links in the description below. There's a discount code and all that sort of stuff. But if you want to win one of these pieces of artwork, and they are great. They're fantastic pieces of art. They're fantastic pieces. They're really, really good.
They are honestly lovely.
And David really wanted the signed Kane shirt there, and he's delighted with it. And I think it looks really, really good. So if you want the opportunity to go win something like this, signed by a player of your choice, you can go check out the website. Any of the shirts that are of that sort of ilk, those sort of like shirts with the name, the number and the signature with a little bit of a plaque and stuff at the bottom, you could win one of them every single month, or you could win a signed street sign as modelled there by the lovely Sam from FPL Family. patreon.com/FPL Family if you want to check out our Patreon and get involved with FPL Family a bit more. And of course, it's not just the Manager of the Month competitions we have bonus podcasts with our Ohana podcasts every week. We have Slack community access as well, building up a really nice community over there, especially on a match day, really buzzing in the Slack, which I absolutely love. And of course, if you want to go up to the $10 Zoom tier and be like Gaz was during the week, and I've got a couple more Zooms coming up this week, if you want to have one-to-one sessions with us over Zoom to talk about your teams, maybe your wildcarding, maybe you don't know who to captain or what your transfer is going to be this game week, then this is the place for you in the Zoom tier. So there we go, patreon.com/FPL family if you want to get a bit more involved with us over there. Right, Sam, let's just have a quick super chat from Gurav. Thank you, Gurav, for another super chat. He's saying, Kane has scored 4 points more in the last four than Reguilón. No hauls in the last four. 11 million for 6 points average. I think he will be outscored by Vardy in the next four. So that's a point there where we're talking about the fact that Kane is ticking over, but actually he's not really exploding. Is that a problem for you? Not a problem for you. Clearly not a problem for you. Vardy, I think, could go big in the next three. I can see it being a popular move, Gura. And Stealth Panda Kens, thank you for the super chat. Klopp has confirmed that Mo Salah can train tomorrow. So there we go. Salah is back. He's going to be, I assume, in the team for the Champions League. If not, he's, I would imagine, going to be in the team for Brighton. So listen, if you got rid of Mo Salah, get in the comments below. Let us know what you are doing about getting him back, if indeed you are considering getting him back. Right, Sam, let's talk about our teams for the week. So here's my team. These screenshots were taken in the half-time during the Liverpool game, so the Robertson points for the clean sheet aren't yet in there. So I did all of these slides for the live stream half-time during Liverpool. So actually, my game week points are going to be a bit more than that, and my overall rank will be a little bit more than that. I've pretty much par this week. Now, I've got two to play. I've got Kyle Walker-Peters and Che Adams, so anything can happen with those guys. And I'd like to think with two still to play, I'm going to finish slightly above par. It's not going to be amazing, but I also didn't crash and burn. And given that Grealish was my captain, it wasn't looking good when he got the one-pointer, and I was fearing the worst in terms of a red arrow. But I think I'm going to largely hold my own. I think my game week rank is going to be about where it needs to be, and I think my over rank is going to be about the same. I was 1.1 million coming in to the game week. I'm currently at just over 1 million. I think the Robbo points will push me up into sort of 990 something, and I would think that with the Saints players coming in, I might go up a little bit more. So I'm relatively happy with that, given I've gone and crashed and burned on my captain, which is becoming a theme, guys. I've said this last week. I cannot get my captaincy right. Honestly, absolutely incredible. But with the lack of Fernandes, and I think I probably would have captained Fernandes if I'd had him, but with no Fernandes, it was a case of going for somebody a bit different. It was between Grealish and Calvert-Lewin at the death, I have to say. Those headed stats for Calvert-Lewin against Fulham look so good. But Grealish's form, I think I maybe watched him for England a couple of times and got a bit excited about Grealish. I don't know, listen, it was a bit of a coin toss in the end and it just went the wrong way for me. But listen, I'm not upset with my team. My team looks good. The defence have done well. Robertson obviously pleased with those points. Chilwell ticking over the 6+ points every single week. Looks great. Ziyech, a bit of a disappointment. But again, on another day, could have been different for Ziyech. He was involved. His delivery was great. And I think Werner is now starting to find his finishing boots as well. And I think Ziyech will be providing him a lot over the next few weeks. Son, obviously happy to hold. Happy I did hold and will be happy to hold going forward. Suchek actually missed a sitter in that West Ham game, didn't he?
What is he doing?
Missed a sitter.
Thomas!
Should have scored, but listen, you can't expect Suchek to score every week.
Why, I do.
And of course, Kane and Calvert-Lewin up front. Those guys going nowhere right now, especially Dominic Calvert-Lewin. Salah, I held on to him. On the off chance that he played, I put him in the team. Obviously, Che Adams is going to come in for me. But Salah now, I'm kind of happy that I held.
Yeah.
With those three fixtures coming up, he looks captaincy material in all three of those.
Yeah.
At a time when I think a lot of us were looking at those fixtures and going, well, I'm definitely going to be captain a Man City player in those three fixtures. Well, maybe not now. Maybe not.
Maybe not.
And actually, I think current state of play for game week 11, I'd rather captain a Spurs player against Arsenal than I would a Man City player potentially against Fulham. Maybe. I don't know. But anyway, I'm very happy that I stuck with Salah. And of course, I've got Kilman on my bench. Dallas with the 5-3rd bench. Listen, it happens. But overall, I'm okay with it. I'm okay with it because the captaincy failed and I'm okay with it. I'm probably going to be about par, not taking many chunks out of my overall rank this week. However, you have taken another chunk out of your overall rank. 67 points this week, which looked pretty damn good to me. Total points, 549 and an overall rank of 283, which is about 150k up from where you were at the beginning of the week. Talk us through your team.
I mean, it will probably have dropped a bit because of the Liverpool clean sheet for Robbo and all of that kind of good stuff. But I've got to say, I am really loving my team at the moment. I think if we rewind 3 or 4 weeks ago, I was getting a lot of grief in the live chat from you guys saying that I needed a wild card and my team was in a state. And actually, they've ended up okay. And I think, you know, the double Southampton defence to come tomorrow. So hopefully, as you say, a little bit of a boost. If Kyle Walker-Peters for any reason doesn't play, then I've got Dallas's 5 coming off the bench, which, you know, would
That's
be
okay.
fine.
Yeah.
Chilwell and Creswell both doing very well at the back.
Chilwell and Creswell, that's great.
Dynamic duo and a half. I'm enjoying very much owning both of those two. Son and Kane obviously are just beautiful, beautiful men. Bruno Fernandes doing what Bruno does best. Suchek, very nearly doing what Suchek does best, but not quite. Ollie Watkins is the one in there that I'm kind of a bit of a okay on, I'm thinking about. But the fixtures are quite nice still, so I'll probably give him another week. Lamptey, I just can't be more disappointed in Lamptey. Not in him personally, but it could have been such a different day.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I'm fairly content with them. I'm going to hold. Obviously, we've got European football this week, so it's
the Fernandes points are unreal. A 24-point swing that would put you on 63-43.
All right.
And I would have again with the Grealish giving Watkins the penalty the other week, the Fernandes swing this week. I don't know what I've got to do to beat you guys to beat you in FPL. I just don't know. I just don't know. I just cannot get a lock.
It's not luck.
Anyway, a good week for you, 67, is a very, very good week indeed. I mean, we move on. Any thoughts in terms of transfers for next week? What you're thinking? Have you got two or have you got one,
I've got one
coming into next week?
Just one, because I did Trent to Chilwell this week.
Okay, like that move.
I think I'm going to wait it out because obviously we've got European football, so it's quite important the way that my team is, that my United, my Spurs, my Liverpool players, my Chelsea player get through. Get through those games unscathed, and
another week of European football coming up,
and a big one again because
players dropping like flies at the minute. You have to hold those transfers.
And I think we saw over international break with the amount of flags that we got, both COVID flags and injury flags. That wherever possible, it is really wise to get until the end of the week. And you know, the City defence thing might be a bit of an issue because I think I am very tight budget wise for doing it.
Okay.
But I definitely want City to have played before I bring in one of their defenders. I don't want to take the risk of that. But otherwise, we'll go till Thursday night after Spurs play in the Europa League on Thursday, and then I'll make my decisions about transfers.
Or Lamptey to Cancelo.
Yeah, I think that
looks quite good to me. Burnley can't hit a barn door, and then it's Fulham after that. So City, despite our feeling about wanting to wait to see how they play a potentially low block team in Burnley in terms of their attacking assets, defensively, I think Cancelo looks all right, doesn't he?
He does. I think
Diaz, right?
Worst case scenario, if I get priced out of it, then I might look at doing the Williams thing at Liverpool instead, because clean sheets should be on the cards for them as well. But I'd rather go Man City at the back, I think. So that's the plan. A Man City defender this week is the plan, because I think the rest of them look fairly sound.
All right, very good. Well, super chat from Rohive. Thank you for the super chat. It's difficult to beat this team, he says. So it doesn't sound as if Rohive's got any suggestions for you. He says, that's the team, Sam. That's the one. It's,
I think
there's
a couple of places that are up for grabs still. The Watkins one is definitely he's in the balance for sure.
Okay, all right. Well, there we go, guys. There ends another FPL game week. And it's, for me, it was definitely a game week of two halves. Saturday was...
What are you going to do tomorrow?
I was incredulous Saturday. I was so angry. And then today, really enjoyed the football.
Tomorrow?
Of course, Liverpool winning makes all the difference, absolutely. Tomorrow, let's see. I'm not expecting big things from Burnley Crystal Palace. I have to tell you, I think I might be asleep during that
one. I've got a Zoom, actually, tomorrow.
Have you? Okay, with a patron?
Yeah, with David.
Oh, very good. Well, there we go.
I hope he's going to sit in front of his... Cane display.
Yeah, in front of his cane show. Well, there we go. Well, David, I look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Not expecting much from Burnley Palace, but obviously the Southampton, expecting a bit from Che Adams against Wolves, hopefully. So let's see. Let's see what sort of mood I'm in going into Monday. So there we go, guys. Another game week comes and goes. Good luck tomorrow if you've got any assets in those Monday night games. You can find us, as usual, on all of your favourite social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. We're still on Facebook, is that still a thing?
Yeah.
Still on Facebook, great. If you prefer to listen to the audio version of this live stream, then I rip all of the audio out of this YouTube video and stick it on Spotify and Deezer and SoundCloud and all those sorts of places as a podcast, if you prefer to listen to us as a podcast. That is it. That is it. Guys, thank you for joining us for this episode of FPL Family. Well done in game week 9, and we will be here, as usual, Sunday night, 8:30, this time next week, when we will be looking at game week 10. Try and hold those transfers. We've got a whole week of international football, European football, when I'm pretty sure we're going to have more than one injury going into game week 10. Well done, guys. Green arrows, and we'll see you next time. Cheers.
Bye, guys.